Everyone? I'd like to thank Roger for jumping in. We are just changing our communion to the middle of service until the end of, from the end of service to the middle. Appreciate him jumping in and helping out. Nick and I were concerned that my lesson wasn't pulling down this morning, so we were focused on trying to get that done. We do have a few that are traveling out this morning. That's why thanks, Roger, for filling in for that. So as prepared this lesson this morning, I've been thinking about this lesson for a little while, and I want to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. I think it's been quite a while since I've preached. I think Roger's filled in multiple times, and of course, we do have Mike Grushon and a few other people that have been stopping in. So it's been a little bit since I've preached this morning. I did just recently get back from Portugal, and that's a picture of the Portuguese coast there. That's actually the closest place in Portugal to the United States. That's the closest that you can be to the United States in Europe, right from that picture. It's not really what this is about. I'm just explaining the picture real quick. Because this lesson is about clearer vision. So I'm going to tell a little bit of a story as we kind of get started out this morning, because I am going to use Matthew 7, 3 through 5 as a part of the lesson this morning. Now, I do want to get more into these specific verses where we're actually going to detail things, and I'm hoping at the end of this lesson, we might look at these verses just a little bit differently. So I want to tell a quick story about one of my friends. I have a good friend named Rich. And he and I have done a lot of work together. He actually worked for Amber Begley, Brock Begley's wife at the CDC. We became good friends over the last few years. I found out he was the same age as my dad. I couldn't figure out why we liked the same type of music. We collect guitars. We really got along. But one of the things is we really got after each other. You know, we would joke with each other and kind of razz each other. We did it quite often. He would actually come and speak in my classes because he worked for the Air Force for almost 40 years, then went into cyber defense. And in being a Ohio cyber reservist, I was normally deployed with Rich on multiple tasks. So one of the times that I was with Rich, I was watching him write. And if you're familiar about the proper way to hold a pencil according to common ideas, there's kind of a proper way that you're supposed to hold a pencil. Well, if you look at the way that these charts are, this is the way that Rich was holding his pencil. And the whole idea is this is how a 4- and 6-year-old holds their pencil. And we were in a meeting, and I was just waiting for the meeting to end to give him a hard time. Because I had just worked with Jacob on proper ways to hold a pencil. You know, this is just the idea of progression of how people begin to hold pencils and things that are happening. I was waiting for the right moment to give Rich a hard time about the way he held his pencil. And right as I opened my mouth, I looked at his handwriting, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm the one holding the pencil wrong. I mean, Rich literally looked like he just signed the Declaration of Independence. His writing was beautiful. I later find out that, you know, his PhD was from MIT, and he went into language arts, and he actually was actually a very well-known writer. I did not know that. But I was getting ready to give him a hard time about his handwriting, and not to talk much about my handwriting, but this handwriting makes my handwriting look good. I was just about ready to make that point, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe everything that I know about handwriting is completely wrong. Because I'm holding my pen right, I'm doing everything that was said, but I might be, my whole structure of how to write was kind of realized. So I was thinking about here in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Do not consider the plank in your own eye." I was thinking of this when I was getting ready to correct him. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. These are the verses that we are going to look at this morning, but we're going to look at it a little bit more in depth. We're going to look at things that I hadn't really considered before about these verses. Now, just to put this a little bit more in context of what's happening here, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. I did list kind of a real quick brief overview of this, the Sermon of the Mount and everything that's kind of laid out. If you remember in Matthew 5, it starts out with the Beatitudes, we have the salt and the light, the fulfillment of the law, higher standards of righteousness, giving, prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not worry, judging others, that's the section that we're going to be talking about. Ask, seek, and knock, narrow and wide gates, true and false prophets, true and false disciples, the wise and foolish builders. So, as we come back and we take a look at the verses that we're going to focus on today, we're going to focus on two of the words that are used here. And we're actually going to go back and look at the Greek and kind of look at what the definitions are for each of these, at least so we can have a better understanding of what this is saying. I'm starting to understand that going back and looking at the original Greek words helped me understand fully the idea that is being relayed. And it's the same in Hebrew. Going back and studying the Hebrew, I'm starting to understand that there's a lot more depth to the words. The specific words that are used have a lot of extra meaning behind the word. So this morning, let's take a look at speck and plank. Now, other Bibles will say the word log, so I'm going to use the word log this morning. It could be plank, it could be log. I think log might actually get back to more of the original Greek word, maybe just a little bit better. I'm not going to try to enunciate the Greek words this morning. I'll try. I do have the enunciations with them. But anyway, let's take a look at this. So the word speck refers to a small piece or straw, chaff, or even sawdust. It symbolizes something minor or trivial. So that's what that word specifically means. Then the word for log is a significant because it not only refers to a log, but specifically a structural beam, a timber used in construction, such as a roof beam or support. That's what I'd like to talk about today. This whole structure, this whole support. This beam isn't necessarily something that's just larger that's in the eye of another individual, but it's this whole support, this structure, this piece. So take, for instance, you know, when I was thinking about me and Rich's conversation, I thought I knew all of the structure of writing, but clearly I didn't. I thought I knew how to properly hold a pen. I thought I knew that structure. I thought I had that proper foundation of how to correctly write and things like that, but I didn't. But when we look at these original words, when we think about structure, it's that form. It might be that whole thing that supports all of our other ideas about that concept. It's that structural piece. So with that structural idea, I pulled together some other additional ideas with that sense of structure. So in the Greek, the word log implies something large, weighty, essential to the structure of a building. By using the word log, Jesus was likely highlighting how a person's own flaws or sins can be massive and foundational, integral to their character and even affecting their perception, right? You got a log in your eye, it's affecting everything that you're doing. This suggests that the log isn't just a large piece of wood, but something deeply embedded, perhaps even supporting one's life or mindset in a way that blinds them to seeing clearly. It implies a deeper issue than just a small fault. It's foundational, structural, or something that may require significant efforts to address. Now, when I was younger, when I would read over these passages, I had always just considered that the person with the log in the eye was just somebody that was sinning more, that had more sin in their lives or had more issues in their lives, and the person with the speck was doing something small. However, reading and studying over this a little bit more, I think the idea is more there is a structural issue with the individual, and maybe even the way that they are trying to correct someone else. And then it might be somebody trying to correct somebody, but they need to completely go back and take a look at themselves to figure out, am I trying to tell somebody something, or am I self? Do I know those correct pieces? Because we might need to even look at ourselves in the mirror before we go and correct somebody else. Are our structures right? Is our foundations right before something is corrected? So, with this, we might even need a spiritual mirror. This is just kind of the idea that I had here with James 1, 23 through 25. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing himself, his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So when we reflect about ourselves, we reflect those ideas, can we see that we have maybe that log in our eyes, maybe if it comes to something that is foundational in our beliefs or in our lives that we may need to change? We may not have the correct foundation. We might need to change what we believe or what we perceive or what we thought was originally correct. Because we know Jesus set this up. This story about the wise and foolish builder is just a few verses after the conversation about the speck and the log. Here in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, the wise and foolish builder, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was the founded on the rock. It had a strong foundation. But anyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them, he'll be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. There was no secure foundation. Also, the idea of this foundation or of this builder that we can build our spiritual lives on are also mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations and another builds on it. For I let each one take heed, now he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that is which laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have that beam, that strong foundation. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone works which he has built on it endures, he will receive the reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. So are we making sure that we are building our foundation for that strong foundation? Are we building upon it ourselves? And Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of God, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So are we considering these verses when we're thinking about ourselves And are we sure that we're not walking around with a plank out of our eye? Are we moving around and hitting others, causing them to stumble? But are we making sure that we are grounded in this strong foundation that we know is true? That we do not have this plank sticking out of our eye? Kind of like that plank I had sticking out of my eye when I was going to mention to my friend, Rich, this is him by the way, about his handwriting. You know, I was so influenced about his handwriting. Of course, I mentioned before, beautiful handwriting. I really, really liked it. It actually encouraged me to start working on my own handwriting. I really need to work on it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start working on my own handwriting. Well, when I started working on my handwriting, Emma wanted to work on her handwriting, right? And it's caused a little bit of an effect. Well, I was pretty excited about this, and this is something that I was working on. So I really wanted to mention to Rich, you know, this impact that he had. That, hey, you know, you've encouraged me to do this. You know, I'm completely reconsidering the way that I'm writing. I would really, really like to mention this. So I set up a meeting with Rich. We were going to have lunch on September 26th of last year. Well, the problem was, is I got up on September 26th, but Rich didn't. I never got to tell him, you know, that this really impacted me, that the help that he had for me, the things that we did. He was born the same year my dad was, so I often think about that. Rich was a great guy, and I think about that plank that was in my eye. I would have had an opportunity to discuss things with him. I might even have had an opportunity to discuss the Bible with him that day. However, we never got to have that meeting. We never got to discuss those things. As I continued with my handwriting, I was really thinking about him. This is my handwriting. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I think about that verse when I think about the impacts that we might have. You know, we might have this structural log that is in our way that is not allowing us to see things, to grow, to build. But we might be talking about these specks in other people's eyes. We may be challenged with these things as Christians. We may be challenged talking to others that have planks in their eye, that we are trying to help them with that. However, we need to have those wise decisions of knowing when to say and what to say to individuals. I'll never have a chance to talk to Rich about this. I don't really know a lot of what Rich's other background was outside of work. However, I really hope, you know, that he had made the right decisions in life. And with that this morning, as we close out the services, I also have this picture in case you couldn't read my handwriting. As we close things out this morning, we think about what we can do to become a child of His. We know that the foundation is already laid. With the verses that we mentioned this morning, are we taking those steps to be on this foundation? Are we a Christian? Are we following in His will and in His sight? This morning, we always open an opportunity. Of course, we know the opportunity to become a Christian is always open. That being baptized and being a child of His is being instructed, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God. And if anybody would like to become baptized this morning or anything after services or have any questions, I'm pretty sure that any of us would be happy to talk to anybody here. Here in a moment, I'm going to turn it over to Roger for our song, 9:11. And I'd like to think about those verses when we think about our structure and our foundation, about how we need to be deeply rooted in it, that we can make sure that when we answer to God, that we won't burn away like the straw and the other works, but we'll have a strong foundation. And again, that if you would have any prayers or needs for the church, please come forward as we stand and sing number 9:11.